Hey again. Is not God incredible? I love that today we're talking about time, but we're not in a hurry. Yeah. You could feel it in the worship, in the time that we took to hear the words. Adam. Hello, Adam. Do you want to come up and finish this? Because, I mean, that was a heck of a start. Anything else? Okay. All right. So, Lord, we do trust you. And we honor you. And we recognize that you are King and Lord over us and in this place. And so we say, your kingdom come and your will be done. Lord, this chair's not lasting long. Lord, I want to give him place to work, right? God is a God of healing. He's a God of restoration. He is a God of love. And every good and perfect thing he has made available to us and for us. And now is the time. Now is the time. Receive that. Lord God, your will be done as we're gathered here right now, Lord. Yeah. So whatever, Lord, whatever you need to accomplish in the people here, those sitting in these seats, Lord. Yeah, do it. Beyond that, Lord, to the ones in these seats that are connected to others, Lord, that need your hand and need your work. Do it, Lord. Amen. So my first line was kind of as a joke, wow, would you look at the time? But it is of no consequence to him. Yeah. Like my growing up with a kid, my best friend, his dad said, time means nothing to that boy. Because he was, you know, always running late, as we would deem it. Kind of in the same sense, time doesn't really mean anything to God. Not as we count time, right? Not as we look at the days. So I want to start this way. Because what is important about this whole thing is who God is, who he says he is, and who the blueprint that Jewel was talking about, who he has created you to be, who he has called you to be. So I came across this. This is Psalms 139. It's from the Passion Translation. But listen to the voice of your Father. This is actually David responding to how he sees his God. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You have examined my innermost being with your loving gaze. You perceive every moment of my heart and soul and understand every thought before it even enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book. You know all the words I'm about to speak, even before I even start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a father's blessing to me. This is just too wonderful, deep and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder in strength? Where could I go from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you are there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you are there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It is impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. There is no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as day. There is no difference between the two. You have formed my innermost being. Right? Let me finish that verse, and then I want to read the notes. You have formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb, right? That's the common phrase that we hear. You know, we are knitted together, fearfully and wonderfully made. But listen, this is in the notes. The Hebrew word for knit. Sorry. It's going to take a while, I think. The Hebrew word for knit can be translated to cover or to defend. God takes the internal spirit inside the conceived child within the womb of the mother and covers that life, sends that child a guarding angel, and watches over every child. Is that not good? Especially as we talk about this whole thing about targets, right? It can be a little freaky thing, but your Father God has knitted you together. He has covered you. And he protects you. And I know that some people in this room have gone through hard things, really hard things. And yet they have that protection of his covering. They have his faithfulness and they walk on. And it's an amazing thing to me. It's an amazing thing to me to see people put their trust in God like that. So that's enough. Sorry, it goes on. I do love the part. You guys read the Psalms, right? And everything's going along smooth like that. All of a sudden, David turns, right? Kill them all, Lord. Kill them dead. My enemies are your enemies. I hate them. I hate them. And you're just going, whoa, I don't know if it was too much Starbucks that day or what, but, and then he comes back around and says, Lord, examine my heart, right, and see if there be any wicked way in me. But I do get a kick out of that. I'm sure God smiles when he, it's not all even keel, it's not all smooth. So why did I want to do that? Because if you go back and look at those words, the words that David was seeing, it reveals very much the character of God, of who he is and who we can trust in. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you haven't picked up on it, it says targets, where the body of Christ is under attack and how to fight back. The enemy is stealing our time. We may get to some of that. Because I don't want the focus to be on anything but him, right? We, most of the time, and the interesting thing about time is the word I and me is right in it, so we spend enough time focused on ourselves. If you focus on what can happen or what you think the enemy is going to do, you're going to just play into his game, you're going to be distracted, and that will literally steal your time. Besides, he does not deserve that much attention from us. If you understand my heart in that, I'm not saying that he doesn't exist, but God is the one that we worship, is the one that we focus, is the one we turn to. As Adam shared, the victory has already been won. But the character, there was a plan in this. The character of God that resonates and goes hand in hand with time is faithfulness. And why is that true? It's because time is a testimony. It is a record. It is a witness of God's plan, his love, his faithfulness, and his character to each one as individual, but also to the world, right? To the earth, because he has a plan for that, for all of us, as well as individuals. This is what this guy is A.W. Pink. This is what he says about God's faithfulness. And God being faithful is defined as he is infinitely and unchangingly true. And this is what he says. God is true. The promise of his word of promise is sure. In all his relations with his people, God is faithful. He may be safely relied upon. We find this precious truth expressed almost everywhere in scriptures. For his people need to know that faithfulness is an essential part of his divine character. That is the basis of our confidence in him. The fact that God is infinitely and unchangingly faithful means that he never forgets anything. He never fails to do anything he has said to do, never changes his mind or takes back his promise. And his faithfulness pours out from his love. See, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. The part about faithfulness and time is perspective, right? And God sees it all. He is not limited like we are limited to this moment in time. He has the perspective of the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. That's why he is faithful and true. Nothing is going to surprise him. He's not adjusting. He's not changing the game plan in the third or fourth quarter, right? Because he knows how it ends. So that's the introduction. A few words on target. You all familiar with The Far Side? Good. I knew there'd some that would be. So there's this one well-known Far Side. It's a single-pane comics thing by Gary Larson. It's Hal. It's not the 2001 Space Odyssey, but it's Hal. So it's these two deer, male deer, because they got antlers. They're standing in the forest, standing upright, you know, black bodies, white chest. They're facing each other. One deer has a red dot. He has a target, has a bullseye on his chest. And the other guy walks up to him and goes, "Bummer of a birthmark, Hal." So, I believe that there are some applications for us today from Hal. So, my "everything is beautiful, all is well with the world" version is, it's the blood of Jesus covers Hal and the birthmark disappears, right? Everything's good. He's safe. Hidden, no target on his chest. The other version of the target in the bullseye, and here's this the way it's intended. It's the blood of Jesus covers Hal, and that reveals the birthmark, because It is that target is not so much a personal thing, but it's a kingdom thing. Who do you call your own? Who is your Lord? Who is your Savior? So if there is God and there is an enemy, Satan, and if you choose God, you are going to be the enemy of Satan, hence the target. It's not really a personal thing. It's a kingdom thing. Although when you're in the midst of it, it does feel very personal and intense, you know. Did you look at my notes today?
Is this a personal attack?
No, it's just, there's a personal attack. No, because here's this, right? So maybe we're the other guy. Instead of saying the obvious, like bummer birthmark, Hal, maybe we're to stand with them. You know? And so when Jeff started doing that, I go, oh, that is so good. Because that is exactly what I was wanting. It was a living demonstration of the point. So thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He works like that, does he not?
Yes.
Yeah. Along that same point, and what we did really, you know, we've been talking about the school of encouragement, right? Well, like, when is that going to be? Why can't it be now?
Yeah, yeah.
Why can't it not be here when we gather together? Why cannot we come? Now, hold on. If you're like me, you're going to realize, okay, for a minute, you're going to have to take the eyes off yourself. And I know for me that's harder. Hard at times, but come, Lord Jesus, and change my vision. Eyes to see. And that we can look around and we can come to those who are standing. And to those of you who weren't, who should have stood and didn't, we stand with you still.
Yeah.
You know? Thankfully, God is not limited in his plan by our actions, right? His plan, his purpose will be accomplished. I watched a video a while ago, Ashton Intrader and the, something of Jerusalem. But anyway, so like a 40-minute teaching, you should watch it. About halfway in, he takes off his jacket, and he gives a 10-minute version of this whole history of the Bible. And it's amazing. But so he talks about Lucifer then, the angel of light, being in heaven and rebelling. And he gets to a point and realizes that when God created heaven and the earth, he gives Adam and Eve authority over heaven and earth. And he goes, well, I can't take him out, but I can go down here and I can mess this thing up. So through the whole process of the garden, if you will, Satan now has authority over the earth. And he makes a statement that it is temporary, as we know, because we get to the end of the book and he is no more. But then he begins to go and weave through the whole thing of history up through Jesus and how Jesus comes and how God then takes authority back, right? Now Jesus has the authority. And then I love this. He goes, in my humble opinion, Yeshua makes a mistake, and he leaves. So now it's back to us again, right? And the whole battle goes on again. And that's the phase, that's the point of history really that we are in, right? We're in this conflict now. And the conflict is not so much personal, but it's the conflict of Jesus coming back and setting up the Father's kingdom here on earth and Satan in Jerusalem. And Satan right now realizing this is his fight. This is the end of the line for me if I don't win this thing, which he won't. Game's over, game, set, match. And he just reviews that. But that is again just to give you the understanding that it is, yes, it is personal, but it is much more than that. It's a kingdom thing, that it is the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of the enemy. Not really much of a kingdom on his side. He does, right? And so he does, and that's where we come, and that's what Asher alluded to, is that he was talking about, he says, I know that there is the deliverance, right, where you kick demons out one at a time. He says, I want them all off the planet. I want them all off the planet, and I want God back in control. So that's his heart. You got to like that. He does have a lot, Satan does have a lot of followers. And the thing is, you have to look at the kingdoms, right? God's kingdom of life, his is going to be a kingdom of death. God is founded on truth, Satan is on lies. Look at the character of the kings. You know, I know most of you in this room, and so I know that you have chosen Jesus. We say yes to that, Lord. If you haven't, you're screwed. I'm sorry. And I'm gonna. Is Mike Fox in the room? He's not. So he's teaching. So he was. Oh, there he is. So there was a little backbone for you, bro. He was talking about it's time to stop stepping around. Like, how do we enter in? Hey, can I come up and pray for you? He says, no, man. You just get some backbone and you go over and pray. Because once you start, people are not going to say, well, don't do that. Don't pray for me. I mean, most people are always open to pray. So you have to go back and listen to the tape. But yeah. Yeah. Amen. Bless him in that. So there you go. Okay. Somewhere we're going to talk about time. So, you know, time is a crazy little thing. You don't think of it, but yet it's fundamental to our existence, right? You know, we live in a space-time continuum. I'm just saying the words. I got no idea what it means. And I do. It does, right? I mean, I can throw out these big words and then, whoo, wow, is he smart? No, not really. But there is, I do have some understanding. And the scientific thing is pretty amazing, really. If I can bunny trail for 1 minute. Because time, space, time, distance, that stuff is all connected, right? It's just the laws of nature. So I was looking at some stuff one day, and I just got curious. I go, okay, so what's the size of the universe? Because, you know, if God is omnipresent, he's everywhere. So, like, how... How everywhere does he have to be? How big is God, I guess, as you could. So you got to know if this is the universe, then he's bigger. So the universe, the observable universe, what we can see with Hubble and whatever other technology we have, 93 million light years across. So that's huge. So a light year, if you were to put it in actual distance, is about 6 trillion miles. So 6 trillion times 93 million, and that's the, is the observable universe. Yes, that's what that we can see with telescopes. The estimated, now this is, this is scientists, and I don't always put my trust in them, but we're just going to go with it for a while. What they figure the total universe is 7 trillion light years across. So 7 trillion times 6 trillion, you get 24 septillion miles. And I looked up the septillion. It is a word. It's, if you Google big numbers, you'll find it. It's 24 zeros. So anyway, that's how huge God is. He is beyond that. And if I would have continued in Psalms 139, it goes back to say that his thoughts to me are more than the grains of sand. So you go big, and then you come right back home. And that God who is immense and huge and everywhere and all powerful doesn't stop thinking about you. The Passion Translation, it ends this way. It doesn't end this way, but that section of scripture ends that when I wake up in the morning, you are still thinking of me. So, God is so good. So time, that's where we were at. Some other interesting things about time, right? It is kind of the only real baseline we have. It is the common ground. Lisa has 24 hours today. Jody has 24 hours today. I got 24 hours, Becca, everybody. So it kind of, in a sense, reveals your heart, right? Where you invest your time, where you spend your time. Kind of reveals, or it can reveal your character. There's other things in time that help reveal your character too, and we'll get to those. One definition of time, you know, the first one, it said, I just Googled time definitions, right? The first one is, time is the thing that keeps everything from happening at once. That's helpful. And so I guess if you want to think of it, you know, time keeps the universe from being like the box of fireworks that the match gets dropped in and the whole thing blows up at once. But this is, and so then I Googled, because I'm so spiritual, I said, what's the biblical perspective of time? And so biblical definition, one that I found that made a lot of sense is, says time is a measurement of change. It is duration. So things change from one moment to another moment. That distance in between is time. Why is that important? Because God does not change, right? He is immutable. And if he does not change, then time has no effect on him, because he is outside of time. So thank Google for that. That did not come from my brain. So then you get to what is, and I just kind of started this thing. When I started this thing, I started, and I just sat down and I just started coming up with questions. I said, well, God, what's the purpose of time? What's the definition of time? Some of the stuff I looked up, some of the stuff God revealed to me. And it was funny for me, because I had about four different things that I was, because God would just drop things in my head every now and then, and I have about three or four different notepads that, you know, it would be really smart if I would have put it all on one, but, you know, I'd have to go downstairs to get that notepad, so this one's here. So I ended up with about four different notepads with different things all written on and combined them. It was kind of fun. But the purpose of time, and this is what I found, this is from Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Bible Theology. He says, the significance of the biblical concept of time is that it is unmistakably the way it uniformly presents God at work guiding the course of history according to his saving plan. So time is a created thing. God, in the beginning, right? God was in the beginning. God said this, and then some people say that's when time began. At that moment, let there be light. Bam. There was no light. Now there is light. Now we can measure change if you want to keep that definition going. So the purpose of time is how God reveals, how God works his plan into our lives, into his creation, into universe. And as I said before, it's also kind of irrelevant to him because he is outside of it, right? But the thing about time where it becomes, I've only got 4 pages of notes and we're halfway there, living on prayer. Okay. So if God's purpose in time is to establish his kingdom, then our purpose in time is to reflect, to build upon that kingdom. It is Matthew 5:14, right? You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Or in today's vernacular, or what we're talking about today, you're a target. How's that? You know, you are up on the hill. You're shining bright. You're going to be seen. It says, nor do people light. Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate that. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Amen. So that is what our purpose is in time. And we'll get to it in a little bit, but when I'm talking about time, I mean, I'm talking about now. It's because that is the part of time that we are engaged in. It is the part of time, the present, where heaven, where the enemy, and we all exist at the same time. That's the only place where we're all present, if you will. God can be present anywhere. Satan can't be present, I think, more than where we are, right? He's just kind of in the present. He can't go back and fix the past. We can't go back and fix the past. God can go back and fix the past if he chooses. And in the present, we have some, guesses. Or some insights, some revelation, if you will, but God knows for sure. So one of the questions I asked God is, I said, God, how do you see time? So what is time to you? And he said, time is my paintbrush. You think back, I think a couple, 3 weeks ago, Lisa was perfect, but we were all masterpieces, right? Time is that point where heaven comes to earth. It's where God establishes, it's where God continues that perfect work in our lives. If you look, think of the canvas, right? If you think of a canvas, some of the old masterpieces were painted over a previous painting, right? So if you think of that in terms of the kingdom, before Jesus, we painted a picture of our lives, right? We said, here's what it is. When we gave our life to Jesus, he begins painting a new picture. If you're a good painter, you know, you maybe had a good painting, but you would not have a masterpiece. Father is going to create and paint a masterpiece in each of our lives. And the part where we feel the change, where we have that connection, is the present. The past are the strokes that are already there on the painting, what you can look back and see. The future, well, those are the details that aren't filled in yet. You may have a sense of what's going on, but it is really in the present. And that is, when you talk about time and the target of time is the present. Because that is where, and you know, if you read Scripture, look at the tense that Scripture is set in. Father God said, Moses, right? Who do you say that I am? I am that I am. That is present tense. It's not like I was somebody or I'm going to be somebody, but I am that I am. Blessed are those who, you know, the Beatitudes. The language and the language of Scripture is present tense. It is now. And that is where the battle is, because Satan, like us, has got this little window of time, the present that he can operate in. So that's where the attacks come. And how do those attacks come? I think Satan's... Yeah, man.
I just wanted to tell you that God's name in the Hebrew language is the only name, the only word in the Hebrew language that has no tense.
Hey!
It has no
there tense. You go. Okay, so God's in his own name is perfect outside of time. Tenseless. Not like me, senseless. He's tenseless. So in the present, that is where the battle is, because that is where Satan can interact. That is where his temporary authority, if you will, is. And so how, and if the present is where we interact with, like, thy kingdom come, is implied that thy kingdom come now, right? We are looking for his kingdom coming now. And so Satan, if he is going to attack, then he, when he attacks our time, when he steals our time, I believe he is moving us, trying to move us out of the present, either back to the past and, hey, you know, look what you did. How are you going to move forward from that? Yeah. Or you look, the other thing is, there's two ways he can get you to the future. You get under the, he begins to twist the future in your head so that you become fearful or doubtful of what God said he was going to do, right? So there's that deception of doubt. The other thing, probably what I'm guilty of, is there is time, and God has his timing, and there is time that we are supposed to act. There is a time, maybe a time frame for us to do something. And our response is, yeah. Or my response, I won't put you in the boat with me. Bail, get out. Is I don't have to do that right now. I can do that later, right? So I think we need to be, I won't put you in there. What I'm seeing in my life is that I really need to be sensitive to the timing of what God has called me to do. The other way you would look at it is, oh, I don't have to ask Jesus into my heart now. I'll do that before I go. Bad plan. Everybody, I've always got time. It's kind of along another version of that thing of God knows my heart, right? I don't have to change now because God knows my heart. I will have time to change. So I think that staying in the present is where we connect with heaven. The enemy's plan is to push us out of that, whether it is with, hooks to the past, planned or forced to the future. The other thing, the other way I think the enemy works in time is pressure. Let me give you an example. So a while ago, I went to lunch with Jeff Hoover, pastor at Evangel Christian Fellowship. In case you didn't know which Jeff I was talking about. And so we got together and we were talking about deep roots. And then I knew on the schedule, and I thought of myself, well, Jim, I was thinking in the back of my head, why don't you ask Jeff and see if there's a series coming up that, because I knew I was going to be teaching. So I said, Jeff, you know, I'm coming up. Is there a series or anything? Or am I just going to share what I want? And like within 3 minutes, he goes, no, I think there's going to be a series. I want to talk about targets. And I go, oh, didn't see that coming. Then I get home later that night, And here's the list of targets. Here's the 10 things to talk about. So what starts happening in my little head? Well, I'm looking at the list of targets, things, topics to talk about. So, well, I don't want to talk about that one. I don't want to talk about that one. It's like, oh, crap. Okay, so do I jump in now? Do I wait? What do I do? Come, Holy Spirit, I need to know. And so I think I said, okay, Lord, I am just going to let it sit. I let it sit overnight, and then I looked at my phone in the morning, and Patrick has gone, well, I'll take these three, and I'm going, okay, I'm moving in. So that is the other thing, and the reason what it came down to, Jeff asked me one time, why did you, or we had a group, there's a team of us that are going to go through this. And he said, Jim, why did you pick time? And I said, you know, I think it just made sense to me. It really, I looked at it, and God says, you're first, and that's the first topic. So I said, okay, well, there it is. Time it is. But there is that pressure, right? King Saul, when he was told by Samuel, right, you're going into battle, wait till I show up, and I will offer the sacrifice. He saw everything happening around him, all the circumstances happening around him. Jesus, Samuel going to make it? Is he going to be here on time? This is getting bad. The troops are getting restless. I'll go ahead and do that. Whoa. Bad move. Big mistake. which brings, so would the same thing happen to us? I mean, if God is yesterday, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever, is he going to look at our disobedience any more differently than he looked at Saul's? You know, we get this assumption of grace covers it all, right? I think you've stepped past grace, and at that point you are asking for mercy because you're in the court and you are in deep trouble. But anyway, so that is the other thing of just kind of, and our culture is good at contributing to that pressure, right? You know, you got to have this. You got to do this. You know, if you don't send by midnight tonight, you won't get the second thing. But it is just kind of that pressure of culture. But here's what I see how God views time. And I alluded to it earlier. And in my 60s, which is where the decade that I am now, my favorite word is perspective. Because I've been around long enough to know that he's faithful, right? That what he says in his word is true. And why it may not happen the way I think it should, or it may not happen in the time frame that I think it should, or I shouldn't have had to do that to get that to happen, it will happen. God is going to be faithful. And so if you find yourself in those pressure situations, step back for a minute and remember who your God is. Your God is the one who sees the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. If you want to talk about somebody who has a perspective, has an understanding of where you are at this moment, you know, that is him. What is he telling you? Yeah. A couple more things and then our time will be up. So I think time, right? We talk about time, and the thing is the devil stealing time. Yes. Yes, he can. And that is intentional on his part. We can invest or use our time for the kingdom, and that is intentional on our part. The part that, so we got one good use of time, one bad use of time. I think in my life, what I have noticed is that a big chunk of time I just forfeit, right? I don't have any intention for it, so it just goes away. It just You know, once the milk is spilt, it's spilt. Once you've passed that point on the river, you don't, the water doesn't go back up. It is something, it is, wait, yeah. It's like Jody said, it's wasted, dude. She didn't say that, she just said wasted. Well, you got to be honest. Don't want to get something pinned on her that was not her doing. So it just, it does really just become wasted. So how do we prevent time from being stolen or wasted? Well, you become intentional. And so, and by, so here's an example of intentional. Father God, today, I know that you are at work. You are at work at Builders First Source, Lord. And when I go to there today, Lord, open my eyes to what you are doing so that I can cooperate with heaven, right? It's not like, and so then I just need to be obedient when he says something. It's not like I have to go, okay, God, I want to be intentional about time. I am going to witness the four spiritual laws to each and every member of the team. You know, because there's, intentional, the best version of intentional comes from who you are, right? Not what you're trying to be or do.
Yeah.
So, the other thing, what else do you do? I think Jeff talked on it last week in his Hebrews. It is fixing our eyes on Jesus, right? If you start the day saying, Lord, I love you. Thank you, Father, for my life.
Yeah.
You are worthy. If you start with your focus on him, it doesn't get, yes, there'll be distractions, but if you start with your focus on him, you are starting on solid ground. You are starting in the right place. The last little thing that I had was really be in the moment. Yeah, you can't worry about what I did yesterday that was messed up, or I can't go back and take the words back that I spoke 15 minutes ago. I mean, they're out there. And the future, I don't know. I mean, I have hope and I have expectations and I have anticipation and I will make plans for it, but I can't, other than speaking into it, I can't, I'm not in the future. I'm here now. So in a sense, we need to be in this moment. I'm going to end with two things. This goes to the point of the moment, and I hope that it really sets the tone, because, you know, I didn't want a talk about us being a target and this is what he can do and do and do and woes, and it gets really heavy and everybody leaves. Jeez, that was edifying. I cannot really crawl out the door. But Psalms 118:24 says this. This is the very day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. That is our call to the present. It is our call to be in the moment. And the Lord is calling us to rejoice in that moment, right? Like Jewel said, cease striving, right? You're going to come to that place of rest. Can you flip on the TV back there? So this is technology. This is me not using technology well. So to give you, boy, this is loading. On the on the 31st, what?
I can see clearly now the rain.
What's that? Reconnect. I can see all obstacles in my way, and right now it's this freaking iPad. Don't break it. Oop. I got to find the stop button on that, because who knows? Thank you. Sorry. Be quiet just for a minute, Johnny. Come on. Somebody who knows how to work these things, come and give me a little help. Okay, there we go. Screen. Looking for Apple TV.
Kevin.
Apple Sanctuary. Kevin, where's Gabe? Gabe can do this. Okay. I want to go back. So the 31st, we were down here for that vision night, right? And so at the end of that, we kind of did some worship, and there was, Jeff said, okay, anybody that's seen it has a word, come up and give a word. Leslie got the song, right? Okay, so I want to play it for a little bit. She was talking about being, you want to come up and share? Because it's interesting, because this pertains to the whole fog thing.
It does. It does. Because what I heard was, I kept hearing that song. I was like, what's going on? And then he just said, see clearly. And when you listen to the words in the song, you know, it's going to say, I can see all the obstacles in my way. Gone are the clouds. Yeah. Yeah, and the fog moves. But it's totally, it's all about seeing clearly. And I just felt like he said, I know that he said, this is the year we will see clearly, and we will be able to walk through any obstacle.
Amen. So here we go, maybe, possibly. Hopefully.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone.
Anybody know how to make this thing big? Okay, what?
Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind.
Yes,
it's
thank you.
It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day.
A little staccato. I don't remember that in the original version. Okay, all right. Hang on with me just for a few more minutes. I promise. It's gonna be a bright, 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 sunshiny day. Nothing but blue skies. Hey, hang on. Yes. Okay, intentional stop. Just so you know. So, buffering. So in that, Tracy goes, because I was back here doing sound, she goes, you're going to get a word. When, you know, when we started this whole thing, and Leslie came up and shared her word. So the word I got was a picture. And then it was a field of flowers. And it was like wildflowers. The flowers were different colors, right? like you'd see if you were hiking around Mount Rainier or out in the woods. And I said, Lord, what is that? He says, that is evangel in 2019. And what is it? It is flowers that have come into maturity, right? They have bloomed. You don't walk upon the flowers. It's not like Disneyland, right? And they all spring to life. It's a small world. In nature, they are just there. They are being true to their identity. They are being what they were created to be. And they are beautiful. And that's what I got. That evangel in 2019 will come into its identity. That we, corporately, will come to maturity. And that people walking by will see it. And it will be beautiful to their eyes. So, Lord God, we thank you for your plan in time. We thank you that it is a good and perfect and wonderful plan. And we are delighted to walk with you in it. We walk boldly and not in fear because you rule and reign. You are in control and you cover and protect and you shield us. So we say thank you, Lord. We thank you for this gift of this day. Give us the wisdom to use it wisely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.